Come out of your busy lives to a quiet time and place. Come and rest in the Lord, who will restore your souls. Come and find the quiet center. Come and be at peace. Good morning. Some few announcements I'd like to bring up. Stock the Schools is a program to support Stock Prairie students in need. Please place donated items in the bin in the fellowship hall. July collection items will include individual packages of applesauce and sturdy backpacks with working zippers. We got a summer life group. We'll meet during the summer to talk about life and how God is working in it. If anyone's interested, get a hold of Sue Evans. We got knitters and crocheters. A large assortment of acrylic yarn has been donated by Alice Kinchy family. The yarns are free for you to use in the Hall Bazaar projects. The yarn is located at the table on a stage at the Fellowship Hall. We got a Concordia Book Club. We'll be reading Another Day in the Death of America by Gary Huge. The group will meet on Tuesday, September 18th at 12 p.m. at the church. And canned goods for the bazaar are always appreciated. As you can do your canning this year, please keep in mind the UW Women Holiday Bazaar is in November. And we got UMW Potluck Picnic will be on Monday, August 6th at 6 p.m. at the home of Mary Clark. Please bring a dish to pass. Table service and beverages will be provided. And anyone interested in Black Hawk Bethlehem Vocational Bible School will be at August 13th through the 17th from 9 a.m. to 11:30 for ages 4 and 6th grade for invited to attend. And of course, Summer Coffee Fellowship is after worship on Sunday mornings. If you're willing to bake treats and serve, please sign up in the fellowship hall. Thank you. And if you can you please stand for our first hymnal? Come and find the quiet center in the black hymnals 21-28.
Thank you.
Remain standing and join me in our praise. God has called us to this place of peace and quiet.
We come eager for rest and hope.
The Lord is always with us, offering us refreshment for our souls. It is the gift of God's love for us. Come and rest. Please remain standing in our singing, Just a Closer Walk with Thee, in the Black Hymnals 2158. Please join me in our prayer. God of this newly day, we come together here this morning with lives that are filled with activity and moment. We rush from one thing to another as though we are going to run out of time to accomplish everything. Help us to let go of the hectic times and the stresses and find our rest in you. Relax our spirits. Refresh our soul. Remind us that there are always things to do and places to go, but that we need the rest of the Spirit that you provide. Amen. In our first reading, it's Ephesians chapter 2, 11 through 22. When Jesus and his disciples had crossed, when Jesus and his disciples had crossed the lake, they landed at, So remember that once you were Gentiles by physical descent, who were called uncircumcised by Jews who are physically circumcised, at the time you were without Christ. You were aliens rather than citizens of Israel and strangers to the covenant of God's promise. In this world, you have no hope and no God. But now, thanks to Jesus Christ, you who once were so far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Christ is our peace. He made both Jews and Gentiles into one group. With his body, he broke down the barrier of hatred that divided us. He canceled the detailed rules of the law so that he could create one new person out of the two groups, making peace. He reconciled them both as one body to God by the cross, which ended the hostility to God. When he came, he announced the good news of peace to you who were far away from God and to those who were near. We both have access to the Father through Christ by the one Spirit. So now you are no longer strangers and aliens. Rather, you are fellow citizens with God's people, and you belong to God's household. As God's household, you are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. The whole building is joined together in him, and it grows up into a temple that is dedicated to the Lord. Christ is building you into a place where God lives through the Spirit. You have a singing.
The song I'm going to share with you is one that's been encouraging me greatly this summer. There's a Bible verse in Jeremiah that says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. And I think of that verse when I sing this song. It's called Beautiful Story. I would have lost heart had I not believed. You know all the plans you have for me. I would have lost heart had I not resolved. There is no good thing that you withhold. You story, you write a beautiful story from glory to glory. I believe you write a beautiful story. You write a beautiful story, beginning to ending, and in between, I would have let go had you not reached out and silenced all my doubt with hope. You pull me close and you tell my heart to rest, 'cause you know what is best, yes, and you're not done yet. All the while you keep saying, trust that I am orchestrating everything for good, good. All the while you keep saying, trust that I am custom making everything for good, for good. You work all things together for good, all things together for good, all things together for good, like you said you would. You work all things together for good, all things together for good, all things together for good, like you said you would. You said you would. You write a beautiful story. You write a beautiful story from glory to glory. You write a beautiful story. You write a beautiful story, beginning to ending, and in
our second reading is from Mark, chapter 6, 30 through 36, and 53 through 56. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him everything they have done and taught. Many people were coming and going, so there were no time to eat. He said to the apostles, "Come by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while." They departed in a boat by themselves for a deserted place. Many people saw them leaving and recognized them, so they ran ahead from all the cities and arrived before them. When Jesus arrived and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he began to teach them many things. Later in the day, his disciples came to him and said, "This is an isolated place, and it is already late in the day. Send them away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages to buy something to eat for themselves." When Jesus and his disciples had crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret, anchored the boat, and came ashore. People immediately recognized Jesus and ran around the whole region, bringing sick people on their mats to whatever they heard he was. Wherever he went, villages, cities, and farming communities, they would place the sick in the marketplace and beg him to allow them to touch even the hem of his clothing. Everyone who touched him was healed.
What an amazing gift we are given in being able to share with one another the peace of Christ. What an amazing thing it is to let that dividing wall break down, crumble, and for us to be able to find unity in Jesus Christ. I only need this one or this one. I don't need both. Okay? Am I on? Am I powered? I lost my train of thought. Now, each one of us knows that in our lives, in our workplace, within our homes or with families, and even within the church, we don't always live the reality of the peace that Jesus has given to us. We know that things happen, and we don't maintain that peace within ourselves. We let go of that. I'm not going to talk a lot about where I was last Saturday. I was at my son's wedding, but I want to share with you what they have done to help them to always return to peace and reconciliation. Sometimes when people get married, they light a unity candle. From two separate candles, they light one as a symbol that they are one with each other and one in Christ. Sometimes people use different colored sand, and they take turns pouring it into a jar, and you look at it and it's beautiful, symbolizing that they are one and one in Christ. Devin and Jesse decided that they were going to have a fight box. The pastor who married them prefers to call it a reconciliation box. Her father made a box. It's about 18 inches long, 12 inches wide, 3 or 4 inches deep. And her sister did wood burning on it, so it has their anniversary or their wedding date and their names and all of that kind of stuff. And inside, you open it up and there's some wine in there for their reconciliation. There's a Culver's gift card, because their pattern has been when they are reconciling, they go to Culver's for ice cream. There's a black Sharpie in there, and only they know what that means. I don't know. There's and then they have a letter that they wrote to each other on their wedding day, for their wedding day, and that was put in it. Two locks. They locked it up. It's one of those combination ones, so they messed up the combination. And the two of them can only open it together. And at some point, they are going to have a blowout. Is that right of all marriages? Most marriages. And then they want to come back to this day in which their hearts and souls were joined as one and one in Christ, to remember the vows that they made to one another and to read what they thought and what they felt on their wedding day. They recognize that they are one, that the dividing wall at some point is going to go back up and it's going to need to be crumbled again. That's part of our lives. What Paul is doing in the reading from Ephesians today is Paul has been confronted with disagreements among the people at Ephesus. And they struggled a lot. There was so many different factions, and they would come together and they recognize, don't we recognize, we're one in Christ. Jesus has made us one body. And sometimes we forget. And sometimes the people from Ephesus forgot. And so Paul wrote to them, telling them about reminding them of this radical nature, this radical way of living that Christ has given to those who are his followers. It recognizes that we are going to be estranged from one another. But as his followers, we must come back together. This doesn't only happen in our lives, in our homes, and in our local churches. We see it happening within the United Methodist Church these days. Some people cannot see, cannot picture how we can go forward as one body of the United Methodist Church. Others cannot see how we cannot go together with that reality of being one in Christ and yet being able to disagree with each other. Paul invites us, as Christ did, to live into that crumbled wall. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. Radical, radical. If you can think of someone that you want nothing to do with, you'll walk across the street if they're on the same side as you are. The dividing wall was so high between Jew and Gentile. And yet they were together. This is good news. And Jesus reminds us in the scripture today that when Paul wrote, took it from Jesus, we don't need to be alienated from one another. We don't have to be separate. And this is difficult for those of us who have pulled ourselves up by the bootstraps. This is difficult for those of us who have worked hard for what we have. It's difficult for those of us who take pride in our self-sufficiency. And that is part of the soul of Americans. But it's not part of the soul of Christ. We need to be interdependent. We are need for independence. Self-sufficiency is so strong that there are some people here this morning who are wearing a public face, a face that says, I am all right. My life is fine. But in public, are in trouble financially, or in private, have a marriage that might be crumbling, or might have been diagnosed with an illness and you're keeping it to yourself because you don't want anyone else to know. Jesus cut through all of that public facade. And we see that breakthrough when we see how desperate people were, so desperate for healing that they not only crowded in where he was, they would see him going and they would try to anticipate, where is he going? Well, let's run so we can get there ahead of everyone else. Let's run fast. Let's carry this bed fast so that we can get there and the one that we love or we ourselves can be touched by him and healed by him. They were desperate. And they weren't ashamed about it. Their desperation was not humiliating. Their need for healing was so strong that they were willing to risk whatever people thought of them. But there wasn't just one or two of them. There were crowds of people who wanted to be touched, who wanted to be healed. Desperate people. And this morning, if there is just one or two among us who feel that desperation, are we not blessed? We're blessed because we can offer ourselves, we can offer Christ through ourselves to anyone who is feeling that desperation. And are we not blessed? That for us, life right now may seem real calm and good. But Jesus didn't do it just for us. Jesus wasn't available just to touch a few, maybe those who present themselves in a decent way, maybe those who aren't too anxious for healing. But you know and I know that there are people all over the world. And there's people right here in Prairie du Sac and Sauk City. There are people who are desperate to know that someone cares. They're desperate to know that they're not alone. The reading today has people flocking to Jesus for healing. And then Jesus wants to go away because he's tired, he's weary. This caring for and caring about and caring with other people is exhausting. So Jesus and his disciples were going away to rest for a while, to pray for a while. And they got there and everyone was there ahead of them. And Jesus had so much compassion that he couldn't let them suffer. And what wasn't read then was the full story of how he fed the 5,000. And then at the end of that, they got in a boat and Jesus sent them ahead. And the last part of the reading, again, Jesus has come back, come to the disciples, got in the boat. They're going to Gennesaret. And there the people are again. And so this good news for us today reminds me that we need to continue to have the compassion of Christ. We need to continue to care about all of those hurting souls and bodies around us. But just as much, we need to care for ourselves when we get tired, when we get weary, because we will. We need time alone with God, time to get refreshed and renewed. And God allows for all of that. When we see Jesus with his compassion and with his need for renewal, we know that we need that same thing, and God provides. We are the body of Christ in this place. We have been given the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding. If you have an overflowing of compassion this morning, be sure to share that. If you need rest for a while, be sure to give that. As Robin read or spoke, God says, I know the plan that I have for you. It's to be a blessing. May that be true in our lives. Amen. God does spread a table of blessings before us, and through our offering, we express our gratitude in giving a portion, just a portion of what has been given to us. I invite the ushers to come as we share our tithes and our offerings. Let us pray together. God of rest and renewal, bless these gifts that we have been given, that they may become part of your abundance for the world. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we want to keep in our prayers the family of Tim Peterson, Chris's brother. He has been in our prayers for quite some time, and cancer is sometimes more powerful than any medicine that we have, so we pray for his family. Other people or situations? Yes. Okay, praise that Wayne has been looking for a permanent full-time position, and he got that. Let us pray. God and Father of Jesus Christ, we thank you that we are no longer strangers, that we are citizens with all of your saints, and that this body of Christ is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Gracious God, our reality is that we are joined together as a dwelling place for you. We pray for our world, for those who have been called or those who are elected as our leaders, that they would be guided by your voice and by the voices of their people. We pray for the leaders within your church, the teachers, the committee members, the greeters, the ushers, the singers, however it is that we serve you. We pray for faithfulness and a spirit of unity, because we are joined together as your dwelling place. We pray for those who are poor or in need. And we pray for ourselves that we would have the compassion of Jesus and care tenderly for all who come to us for help. We pray for those who are victims of war or any violence, that we might bring the good news for them, to them, in both word and deed. We pray for those who are sick, as well as those who are spiritually hungry, that we would have a message of compassion. We pray for those who are grieving the passing of loved ones, that your spirit would continue to be with them as they walk through difficult days. And Lord, we give you praise for all of the blessings in our lives. Continue to equip us as we minister to one another and as we minister to the community around us. Bring us together. Break down any dividing walls between us. And gracious God, be our peace. By your Holy Spirit, renew us. We pray in Jesus' name and as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now would you turn in the Black Hymnal to 2149, Living for Jesus. Please stand. Seek out your neighbor in love. If it is within your power, be reconciled to all of your enemies. Hunger and thirst for the rule of Jesus Christ, and let him dwell within your hearts and minds and spirits. God grant you peace in your sleeping and waking. Christ fill you with joy in your working and your playing. The Holy Spirit drive you with passion today and always. Amen.